Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. It only is for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the second chapter of Acts, where we've been learning what the church should be like. And today our focus is on being used by God as we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 3 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So as we come to the third chapter, we come to the record of really the second major event that occurred in the history of the early church. The first major event, as we studied already, was the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God being poured out, and all of the events that happened surrounding the outpouring of the Spirit, the gathering of the people, the proclamation of the gospel by Peter, and then the response of the people, 3,000 souls being added to the church that day. And so now a little bit of time has passed. We're not sure how much, but I'm sure it wasn't all that long. And then we come to the next major event that occurs, and that is the healing of this man that's spoken about here in the third chapter. And so let me read through the chapter and then on into the fourth chapter and just sort of put yourself back there and get yourself just in the picture of what was going on at that time. So now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this, or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you now see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in jail until the next day. For it was now evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which had been done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had taken place. So there it is, the whole account. This man is healed miraculously and rejoicing. And God is blessing. And yet, sadly enough, these religious leaders, they come onto the scene and they're troubled by this. How did you do this? By what name or what power has made this man well? And so there we see Peter and John standing boldly and proclaiming that it was by the name of Jesus, and then indicting those men that they had crucified him, but yet God had raised him from the dead, and that he is the stone that they, the builders, had rejected. Now, as we look at this story, I want you to notice that out of the whole story, and the event that occurred, the men that were opposed to the work were not only opposed to it, but they were absolutely amazed that something like this could be done through the men that were standing before them. And we read here that when they perceived that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They could not believe it, that these two common people could have possibly been the instruments through which this obvious miracle happened. But then they took note and they remembered that they had been with Jesus. You know, there's a great need out in our world. It's just absolutely amazing how many people don't know the truth. You know, I think sometimes we sort of take things for granted because we have been blessed with great churches and with radio ministries, and there's all kinds of exciting things going on all the time, outreaches and different kinds of events, and there's Christian coffee houses you can go to here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, all of this stuff is just such a part of our local culture that I think a lot of times we just sort of think that this is the way it is everywhere, but it's not. It's not like this at all. As a matter of fact, once you get out from this hub, it gets a lot different real quickly. And there's a tremendous need for the truth of God's word to get out to people. And one of the most effective ways to get the truth of God's word out to people is to get churches planted in communities. I just came back from right up on the Canadian border with about 7 or 8 Canadian pastors and just talking about the ministry and talking about, you know, the needs and so forth. And these guys, you know, they were just crying out for help. They were saying, come on up to Canada. We need the kind of ministry that's happening through the Calvary Chapel Ministries. We need people to come up and teach the Bible because we just don't have that sort of thing going on in our country. They were begging, pleading, please tell Pastor Chuck to come on the radio in Canada. As is always the case, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There's such a tremendous need. But here's the thing that we all need to know in regard to that. God has a plan and he wants to use every one of us. And the primary qualification for being used by God is the one qualification that was noted by these guys here. And this was it. They took note that they had been with Jesus. That was what really qualified Peter and John to minister. That's what qualified them as apostles. That's what empowered them to do the miraculous thing that they did. They were men who not only had been with Jesus, but they were men who were presently with Jesus, and Jesus was with them. And what I want to do as we look back over this third and part of this fourth chapter is I want to look together at the characteristics of these men who were with Jesus. And this is really what we're going to expect to see in our own lives as we are with Jesus. And, you know, I was teaching a group of people today and we were talking about marriage and family and we were talking about all of those related kinds of subjects. And, you know, I really felt impressed by the Lord to emphasize the simplicity that's in Christ and the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of God's instruction to us. And, you know, in talking about marriage and family and all those things, you know, God hasn't made it complicated. He's made it really easy. He's just given us a few basic things to do. And if we follow his instruction, we will have great experiences in our marriage. We'll have great family experiences. We'll just have a wonderful time because that's what God's into. And likewise, the same thing is true when it comes to ministry, when it comes to service to the Lord. It's not a complicated thing. It's not that you have to go through years and years of rigorous training, that you have to become a seminary student and go through a graduate program and all of that, and then maybe you'll be equipped at some point to be used by God. That's not the way God works. That is not the way God worked throughout the history that's recorded for us in the Bible, and it's not the way God has been working in the subsequent history. God takes ordinary people, and he uses them. And that's what we see with these two men here. And notice, again, in Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, or they were untrained and uneducated. You see, what they realized about Peter and John and what baffled them was that these guys are just ordinary guys. And they were, weren't they? They were fishermen. They were just ordinary guys that Jesus got a hold of and worked in their lives. And then he gives them power to go out and lay the foundation of his church. And that's the way the Lord is working still to this very day. He's just looking for ordinary people. He's looking for anyone that'll be interested in volunteering for the job. And what we need to understand is that being with him then qualifies us to do the work that he wants us to do. That's a qualification, being with him. And so as we go back and as we look over this, we're going to see certain characteristics that really result from this one thing. They result from being with Jesus. And if you are with Jesus in the sense that they were, if you spend time with him, if you make him the priority in your life, if you make the things of the Spirit the priority in your life, then you'll find that these characteristics will be manifest in your life, and you will find, believe it or not, that God will be using you in similar ways to how he used Peter and John to spread his kingdom today. And you never know what God will do. You never know what God would have in store. He might send you to Canada to help in spreading his gospel there. He might send you to Europe. He might send you to Africa. He might send you to Asia somewhere. Who knows what he'll do? He might send you to a new place of employment where he gives you a ministry right there. The point is this: God wants to work, and he's chosen people like us through which to do his work. And it's being tight with Jesus. It's being close to Jesus. It's seeking the Lord and loving him. That's what really equips us to do the work. Now, as we look back over this story here, there are five things that I want to point out to you that stand out about these guys. And the first verse of the third chapter, and that is that they were obviously men of prayer because they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And this is one of the characteristics of a person that's going to be being used by God. People that pray. Do you pray? Do I pray? Do we pray in faith? That's the kind of people that are used by God. People who just believe the Lord wants to do something, and they don't take into consideration all of the difficulties of it or all of perhaps even the seeming impossibilities. They just say, you know, Lord, I just believe that you could do something. And I pray that you would be with us as we take this step of faith and as we move in this direction. And you know, amazingly, God honors that. God blesses that. But sometimes we make it so difficult. We make it so complicated. And rather than praying, instead we plan and we strategize and we do all of these other kinds of things, and yet we don't see much of anything happening. God works through people who pray. And as you pray, God will work through your prayers. God will work as you pray for your friends, your loved ones, as you ask God to work in their lives. Be confident, God will work in their lives. As you see a situation that needs to be fixed, that's a situation that's bad, as you pray about that, you can have confidence that God is going to be working in regard to that particular thing. And as you look at people that God has used, whether it be people that are mentioned in the Bible or people that have been used by God after the time that the scriptures were written, during the period known as church history, what you see consistently is the people that are being used by God are people that are praying. Because when we're praying, we're communing with the Lord, we're having that contact with him, and we're getting that direction from him. It's through prayer that we get counsel and we really, in a sense, sort of tap into the mind of the Lord. Remember that prayer is a key part of that. And develop a prayer life. Pray consistently. Be faithful in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer. Doesn't matter what it is. It might be something that just seems so huge that nothing can happen with it, or it might seem to be so insignificant that you don't want to bother God with it. Whatever the case, in everything, we ought to be going to the Lord in prayer. And of course, if we're people who are close to Jesus, then prayer is our means of communicating with him, and we're going to be developing that. We're going to be cultivating that prayer life as we just talk with the Lord, as we just commune with him. So these guys were men of prayer, and that's indicated by the fact that they were going to spend some time in prayer here. But then the next thing that we see about them is that they were also men of faith. They prayed, and then they acted, they moved, they stepped out. And if you're in tune with the Lord, you're going to be trusting the Lord. You're going to be taking steps of faith. You're going to be believing that God wants to work. And we see that here as they encounter this man, we see that Peter, rather than, you know, just reaching into his pocket and pulling out a couple shekels and throwing them in to the guy's hat or whatever it was that he had, instead he stops and he says, no, you know, God wants to do something in this person's life. God wants to do something far beyond what this guy's even expecting. And Peter says, look at me. We don't have any silver and gold, but what we do have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And Peter reaches down and he grabs this man and he pulls him to his feet. Peter took a major step of faith right there. But you know, if we are going to accomplish something for the Lord, anything, we do have to take steps of faith. Because, of course, there's great opposition to serving God, isn't there? And we can't let those seeming obstacles, though, deter us. We have got to take steps of faith. We've got to just step out and say, Lord, I believe in your call. I believe in what you want to do. As I was talking to this fella today, this Canadian pastor who was taking me up to the airport, but we were talking about the city of Vancouver itself, a city of a couple of million people. And I mean, to me, I look at a population mass like that and I think, man, that's a place where you want to get a church started. And so we were talking about that a little bit and he was saying, well, you know, I've been thinking about that and some people actually in North Vancouver have come and visited our church and they've said, we'd love to have a Calvary Chapel in Vancouver. And you know, if you're ever willing to come over and do a Bible study, then we would love to open up our house. And, you know, so he's telling me all of this stuff. And then he says, you know, he says, well, what do you think about that? And I said, you need to go do it. He said, what? You think so? I said, no, I know so. You need to go do it. Take a step of faith. See what the Lord will do. The invitation has been given. Now you just step out and see what God will do with that. And he was excited by the end of our, you know, little drive to the airport. He was excited about a new step of faith. And that's how the work of God is expanded. That's how the kingdom advances. That's how progress is made in the spiritual realm. It's made by faith, by taking steps of faith. And steps of faith are steps that we take based upon God speaking to us through his word and God speaking to our hearts about things that he wants to do. Now, here's something that you need to know. There will always be obstacles to faith. There will always be reasons why this thing might not work. There will always be even suggestions that might even come into your mind that you shouldn't try to do this. This is crazy. Now, can you imagine what might have gone through Peter's mind just a few seconds before he stepped out and grabbed this guy by his hand? I mean, I'm sure that there were thoughts in his mind like, you better not do that. You're going to grab him by the hand and nothing's going to happen. Because there's always opposition to steps of faith, but you just have to step through that opposition. And as you step through it, and as you believe God, and as you trust God, you find that God will work. God will honor that.
We'll continue with more of our study through the book of Acts in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian provides us with some additional insights into being used by God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Being Used by God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3109. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.